This is KMPR State of Nevada. I'm Paul Boger. Since 2010, Nevada has gained an average of 24,000 new residents annually. But according to research by the Gwynn Center for Policy Priorities, the housing supply has struggled to keep up. Rising construction costs, outdated zoning regulations, and slow permitting processes have all worsened the problem. Additionally, barriers to development on federal land and an influx of wealthier out-of-state buyers and low wages in the hospitality sector further put strain on affordability. One area of the state that has long struggled with housing is Lake Tahoe. With its pristine waters and world-class skiing, the basin draws hundreds of thousands of visitors a year, with some of them staying for good. And for the thousands of people who keep Tahoe running, from teachers to restaurant staff to mental health advocates, finding a place to live that's safe, affordable, and near their work is often out of reach. As part of a housing series from our sister station KUNR in Reno, Maria Palma has this story.
Stephanie Rodriguez, a victim support advocate, grew up and works in Incline Village. For over 30 years, she called Tahoe home, but recently a few issues forced her to leave.
Honestly, two things. One of them was rent being so high, and another one, child care being super expensive out here. And with my two-year-old, I couldn't do both. It was like either both or something way cheaper.
Now living in Carson City, she commutes an hour each way, spending nearly $300 a month on gas. The emotional cost is even higher.
I've been homesick. I'm not going to lie to you. I've been homesick to Tahoe, and like I've been into Silo. Like, I'm just going to see if I can find anything for a place here, something similar to what I'm renting in Carson. It's like $3,000. That plus babysitter, I'm like, no, there's nowhere I'm going back to Tahoe anytime soon.
Some efforts are underway to ease the crisis. Across the region, jurisdictions including Placer County and Washoe County are experimenting with a mix of solutions, like offering down payment assistance for local buyers and incentivizing the conversion of short-term rentals back into long-term homes. Programs like PlaceMate continue to incentivize lease to locals and unlock existing housing. Justin Ozuna stands behind the bar at Sagely, mixing a drink. He's the restaurant manager, but also fills in as bartender when needed. Like many who work in Incline Village, he commutes daily from his home in Sparks, nearly an hour away.
For me, it's about being able to just securely and financially be able to provide for me and my daughter. I am a single dad. It is far too expensive for me to afford to live out here. So it has kind of taken that option out for me.
In Sparks, he shares a spacious home with a roommate. In Tahoe, that same price wouldn't get him much.
Right now, I have a roommate. We have I think it's 1,800 square foot, three-bedroom, two-bath home for $2,200 a month. At that price point here around the lake, that's not really getting you much.
Still, he believes any solution must be inclusive, especially for seasonal and international workers.
Affordable housing is important and has to be a option, particularly for those from out of state, particularly for those from out of country. We need infrastructure to be able to support that.
Down the shore, on the southern edge of the lake, Nicholas Edge faces a different view of the same crisis. He works in South Lake Tahoe as a mental health case manager and pays nearly $2,200 a month for one side of a duplex. Even with more than 15 years in his field, homeownership feels out of reach.
Yeah, I'm 37 years old, and you know, I've been in my field 15 odd years, and to be in my field, being successful in my field, and still having to feel like I have to have roommates if I was on my own, it can get a little discouraging.
Housing prices have increased, while wages, even for professionals, haven't kept up.
I mean, I think it could definitely be a little bit less. I mean, compared to when I first moved here to now, like housing prices as well as just rental prices have gone up exponentially, and that's only in a few years.
In South Lake Tahoe, one of the biggest moves has been Sugar Pine Village. Built on former state land, this project will eventually total 248 units of affordable housing. And organizations like the Tahoe Housing Hub are working on the issue through advocacy, preservation, and creative policy solutions.
We believe in housing for all, meaning access to housing that is appropriate, meets the needs of those who are living in that housing.
That's Erin Casey, CEO of Tahoe Housing Hub. Their efforts go beyond new houses. focusing on keeping existing rentals affordable, she says.
The other big piece for us is in preservation and protection of existing rental units. So we want to be able to go in and purchase those units and keep the rents low, and also make sure that if there are improvements that need to be made on site, that those improvements take place. And so we would deed restrict those units and protect them in perpetuity and preserve them.
Casey explains that Tahoe's housing challenges stem from a combination of factors. It's a highly desirable place to live, but development has not kept pace with demand, largely due to the environmental protections necessary in a mountain town.
Tahoe is a beautiful place. It's a very desirable place to be. You've got a lot of demand and limited supply.
As for Rodriguez, she hopes that rent in Incline Village will become more affordable so she can move back with her children. She wishes families like hers won't be forced to leave the community they grew up in. For KUNR Public Radio, I'm Maria Palma, Lake Tahoe.
Of course, no one feels the impact of rising costs more than those who are already just scraping by, like young people starting out. All you have to do is look at the stats. Over the last 20 years, the number of first-time homebuyers has plummeted. In 2004, there were nearly 3.2 million first-time buyers, according to the National Association of Realtors. Last year, that number was a little bit more than 1.1 million. So how are groups like Gen Z, many of whom are just in college or just graduated college, coming to terms with a bleak housing landscape? KUNR's Muriel Day sat down with a few Gen Zers to find out more about their living situations.
On a warm Monday afternoon, Kai Stevens puts on his black button-up and black slacks. He combs his hair and removes any lint off his uniform. He then checks his watch and realizes it's time to leave for his evening shift at Outback Steakhouse. Stevens currently works part-time as a food runner. Just a few months ago, he was a biochem major at the University of Nevada, Reno. Towards the end of his sophomore year, he decided to take a gap year after being overwhelmed with financial responsibilities.
Mentally, there's a lot going on last year. I kind of feel like defeated a little bit. And having to go again and rely on my parents when I'm a full-grown adult again.
The 20-year-old lived in a four-bedroom, two-bath apartment at the Highlands. Steven says even when he chose the cheapest option, rent was still $700 a month. On top of that, he had to pay for his car insurance, gas, groceries, and tuition. He had loans and some scholarships to help pay for his school. Despite making a few thousand dollars per month, Steven says he was still financially struggling. Many Gen Zs like Stevens are either moving back home with their parents or have never moved out because of costly expenses like rent. Dr. Jody Dorkin is a professor at University of Minnesota. She says a lot of jobs nowadays don't pay enough for people to live on their own. By living in a shared space, Gen Z can also contribute to the family expenses.
So we're just not paying people what we should. And housing prices have skyrocketed in ways that are just unaffordable. And loans are like interest rates are ridiculous. So, I mean, I think there's sort of this whole economic perspective.
Not even a decade ago, it was estimated an adult living on their own was spending about $7,500 annually on rent in Nevada. But that amount has doubled this year. A recent report by Harvard's Joint Center for Housing Studies says half of all renters in the U.S. spend more than 30% of their income on rent and utilities. Rue Jimenez currently works full-time for Goodwill, making $17 an hour. Jimenez was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder recently. By living at home with her mother, she is able to use her paycheck to cover her medical bills and prescriptions. Jimenez is 23 years old. She had to drop out of college because of her mental illness and has been having a hard time getting a good paying job since.
Because knowing that I'm like getting older but still at home with my parents, it does like bring up feelings of shame and guilt.
Jimenez lives with her mother, her sister, and her mother's husband in an apartment. She says everyone contributes to paying rent and bills. According to Zillow, the average home value in Nevada is almost $500,000. Jimenez's other sister moved to Kansas with her husband in order to afford a house. Jimenez says she will probably have to do the same thing if she ever wants a shot at becoming a homeowner.
Oh, you're going as well, Mom?
Well, she's gonna hang out with MJ.
Do you want me to stick around here?
Back at Steven's parents' house, Kai says he plans to keep living at home for now. He wants to save as much money as he can before living on his own again.
I really try to not be a burden, but I do feel like I am.
Steven says having to live with parents as an adult can be difficult, but it's a decision many Gen Zs are forced to take. Mariel Day, KUNR News.
With me now to talk about their reporting are Mariel Day and Maria Palma, both with our sister station KUNR in Reno. Maria, Mariel, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Maria, let's start with you. Tahoe, much like Southern Nevada, is a tourism-based economy. What do we know about the folks that currently live around the lake?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a tourism-based economy, like you said. In my reporting, we heard the story, and I feel like I kept hearing the same story from different people, local workers who just couldn't afford to live there near their jobs anymore. And, you know, everything from restaurant staff to mental health professionals are having to commute long distances or leave the region entirely. So that's when I realized it wasn't just a housing issue, but also it's a workforce stability and community health issue.
So where is the workforce living? Are they living in the Reno Tahoe or in the Reno Sparks area?
Yeah, so around 50% of the workforce in Tahoe, they either commute from Carson City, from Reno or Sparks. So that's probably like a 30, 40 minute to even an hour commute to at least North Lake Tahoe. If you think about like South Lake Tahoe, that is like an hour and a half. So they're probably commuting from those areas. If not, they are splitting a condo, like a duplex. They're definitely living with roommates. They're not living by themselves. Like it's not a thing in Tahoe that you can share. I mean, that you can live by yourself in a studio or like a one bedroom apartment. You definitely have to share a unit.
So break down some of the key numbers that stood out to you from your reporting.
Yeah, so in my reporting, there are several important numbers. For example, one report estimates that the North Tahoe area needs about 1,200 new housing units by 2026. And most of those need to be affordable. In South Lake Tahoe, the number is even higher, over 3,200 units. And in the Truckee Tahoe region, the housing demand is about 8,000 units. Another big number, like I said, is that 50% of the workforce commutes to Tahoe and 44% of homes in the region are vacant for pretty much most of the year. And they're basically second homes or vacation rentals.
You know, Tahoe, like many communities around the state, is surrounded on all sides by federal and state land. Is that one of the reasons why it's so hard to build more housing in Tahoe?
It is one of the reasons, but I feel like when we talk about why it's so hard to build in Tahoe, you have to consider many factors. One of the main challenges is environmental regulation, because Lake Tahoe is so environmentally sensitive. There are very strict rules about where and when you can build, and those are regulated by the TRPA, so that's Tahoe Regional Planning Agency. And also the construction season is very short due to the snow. So like, for example, right now, like they're not building, they're not constructing because it's not construction season. And land is also limited. Also construction costs are higher than other areas. And even when there's demand, building more homes is complicated and expensive. And another factor is that with increased density, there's always the concern for wildfire risk. If you've been to Tahoe, you know that there's one road and it's very, you know, narrow and curvy, and you know, you have two lanes and that's it. So like, you know, building more, it's not like you can just build a very tall building with 1,000 units, like hundreds of units, because it's really not the reality of a mountain region.
Mariel, let's focus on you for a second. Your reporting focused largely on young people affected by the housing shortage. As you noted, they're living at home longer. Did you talk to the families at all? I know the young man you spoke with, Kai, he said he felt like a burden. Is it a burden on the heads of these households, on these parents, for these young people to be back at the home?
Yeah, so Kai definitely feels like a burden having to move back in with his parents because he didn't want to add more to his parents' expenses and worries. But I did get to talk to Kai's parents, and they said, you know, they don't think he's a burden. It's just a big adjustment right now for everyone, especially since they didn't expect them to be back after having moved out already. But after seeing their own son struggling financially, mentally, and also one night Kai told me that he broke down to his parents because he just felt like everything was just too much and he was overwhelmed with having to pay for tuition, gas, car insurance, and all of that, and having to go to school and do a part-time job as well. So his parents immediately offered to take him back and they said, you can come and live with us. So Kai does pay about $200 for rent to help out, and he helps out however he can, and that definitely helps with the new living situation.
Both of the young people you spoke to said they left college due to the rising cost of living. Correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't there financial aid programs designed to help students afford not just school, but also things like housing?
Yeah, so there are scholarships and financial aid geared towards helping paying extra costs like housing. But it's kind of hard unless you get a full ride tuition, that aid might not be enough to pay housing costs as well. I know a lot of students having to work multiple part-time jobs while going to school full-time so they can afford to live in student housing like the residence halls or an apartment in general. And for Kai and Rue, they have to juggle so many expenses. For Kai specifically, he has to take out loans to afford daily costs and also the tuition. So he just hopes to be able to pay off this loan with a job that he hopes to get after college.
Mary, you're a young person. I have to ask, do you yourself feel locked out of the housing market?
Yeah, unfortunately, I do feel locked out of the housing market. I think knowing that the average housing price right now in Reno is almost $500,000 is just insane to think about. I don't know if I could ever afford that myself, and I might need help from somebody else, like maybe a partner in the future, to be able to afford a home or do what Rue's sisters did, which moved to Kansas, and maybe afford a house there instead.
Maria, we have about a minute left. You know, as a journalist, it feels like we talk a lot about housing, the housing situation in Nevada. Through your reporting, what do you think stuck out most for you?
So I feel like the bigger picture here is, you know, we're talking about housing, but we're also talking about how this is affecting the local economy and workforce stability. I feel like businesses are struggling to hire and keep staff. Schools are seeing enrollment shifts. Many people are commuting long distances, like I said, which also affects quality of life and costs. And at the same time, fewer homes are available for full-time residents because of second home ownership and short-term rentals. So it's not only about housing. It's about mental health, like schools, stability, community. So I feel like that's the it's a very, very big issue that is not only housing.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. Maria Palma and Mariel Day are reporters for KUNR Public Radio in Reno. You can read the rest of the housing series online at KUNR.org.